Going in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. When you get it, say amen. Genesis chapter 2, let us stand for the reading of God's word. We're going to begin at verse 7. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Verse 7, it reads, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's already blessed. We thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for Jesus, who is the word of God. And we thank you, Father God, that thy word is truth. We thank you that you shall speak expressly today. Jesus said, it's not good that man should be alone. I'm sorry, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We thank you for a proceeding word today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Give an honor to all the leadership that's here. The presbytery, thank God for Kingdom Convoy and visitors that came out to hear the word of the Lord. God has a word for you today. We find here in verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." First thing I want to deal with is the breath of God. Someone say the breath of God. You guys don't mind if I take my time this morning, do you? Now, it's interesting that when God made man and he breathed into him and he became a living soul, that he breathed, the Bible says here, in his nostrils. Now, for all of you Bible students in the house, I want you to go home and dig into just that word nostrils in the Hebrew. It's going to take you down a rabbit trail that I guarantee is going to bless you. So I'm going to leave that little piece of meat on the bone for you. All right? But it says that he breathed into man and he became a living soul. Now, the existence of the first man named Adam is totally different than what you and I see in the mirror. We are not living souls. He was a living soul. Say, Pastor, what do you mean? When we look in a mirror, we are looking at human beings. Human comes from the word hue, many shades, many colors. Amen. But Adam was created a living soul. Amen. Now, I'm going to break that down in a second. But it says that he breathed into his nostrils. And we know that God's breath is his spirit. Say that with me. God's breath is his spirit. So God breathed. When he breathed into Adam, that is when he became alive. And the life that was before God is what the Bible calls a living soul. Hallelujah. Somebody say breath. So what Adam was is not what we are right now. And I'm going to explain it. I know some of y'all hate those went bent right there, but we're going to get to it. Amen. So he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Now, this word breath in the Hebrew has a dual meaning, and their meanings are contrast or opposite of each other. The first meaning is, of course, to blow, to give life, to inflate. But it also means the opposite. It means to take away, to expire, to snuff,
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean? That means that when God gives us his breath, when God gives us his spirit, it's for a purpose, for you to obey him. He gives us his spirit to do his will, to obey his word. And as Adam found out, the spirit that he gave, he took away. Because breath in the Hebrew means to give life, and it also means to take it.
Mm-hmm.
But we find, I want you to see something here. We find that God said, when he gave him an instructions, he said, the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what did he say? You shall surely die. So the life that Adam received lets us know something. God's definition of life may be different than our definition of life. Because he told Adam, the day that you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. The day that they ate, they died. But they lived, Adam lived another 930 years. So I thought, the day that you eat, you would die. But he lived 930 years. Because God's definition of life is different than our definition of life. His definition of life is having his spirit. And when you don't have his spirit, you might be walking around, you might be inhaling and exhaling, but you are dead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say that again. His definition of life is to be full of his spirit. When he breathed into Adam, he filled him with the Holy Ghost. And when he filled him, when Adam received his breath, that's when, what the Bible describes, he had his image and his likeness. See, we think having God's image is the physicality. And we can already break that down, and not necessarily so. Having his image doesn't mean that we have a head, legs, feet, arms. The Bible says in the New Testament that Jesus was the express image of God. And the Greek is the Greek word character, where we get character. So to have God's image means to have his character. So he defines life as having his spirit. Because when Adam ate, they died, but they still lived. But God says, you dead because you don't have my spirit. Are you there? So God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Now, this is interesting because when he ate and disobeyed, the Bible says that their eyes were open. Let's look at that right quick. Chapter 3, verse 7. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made them aprons. Wait a minute. Does that mean that Adam and Eve were blind before they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Amen. See, we have another issue here. What eyes were open? That means there are two sets of eyes. When God breathed into man the breath of life, and he became a living soul, his spiritual eyes were open. Amen. And when he disobeyed God, because breath means to give life, and it also means to snuff it. When he disobeyed God, the life that he received was evicted and stepped out. And now he is living, but he's living from a lower realm. So the eyes that were open were the carnal eyes. Said another way, Pastor. This is why I say the man Adam that God originally made is different than what you and I are today. When he breathed his breath into Adam, he was a living soul. We are not living souls. Said another way, when God first made Adam and he stood as a living soul, his soul and spirit was on the outside. That's what you saw. So we don't even know what that looked like because it has not been again. Amen. But they were spiritual because your spirit and your soul are invisible. They're spiritual. Are we going somewhere today?
Yes.
He stood as a living soul. We're standing as human beings. Are you there? So his spirit and his soul was on the external. Now watch this, because when we read and God formed man from the dust of the earth, we assume that when he breathed into him and he became alive, that the dust of the earth that he formed was alive. But their eyes were open. That let us know that that dust body was not the one that was alive. Because that dirt body didn't become alive until after they sinned. The soul, the living soul, we're spirit, soul, and body. Are you there? Say that with me. We are spirit, soul, and body. You say, Pastor, prove that. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says that Jesus' soul was in great travail to the point where he began to sweat great drops of blood. Then it said while he was praying under pressure, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. In that one scene, we have spirit, soul, and body. His soul was in great travail. He said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. His life reveals that we're spirit, soul, and body. Amen. So when he breathed into man and he stood up as a living soul, that is not what we know and appreciate. It only happened with Adam and Eve. We have not seen it again in history. So when they sinned and their eyes were open, what eyes? The eyes of the man that was formed from the dust of the earth. Hallelujah. And the spiritual eyes was closed. The carnal eyes was open. The spiritual, he said, the day that you eat, you shall surely die. His breath, that means to give life or snuff life, his breath was removed. They became spiritually dead. Now the only thing that was left was the flesh, and his eyes was awakened. Mm-hmm. So, when you look in the mirror, you're looking at the perversion of the original. You're looking at the flesh that is now up front and the spirit and the soul that is hidden. In the beginning, it was the spirit and the soul that was up front, and it was the flesh that was hidden. That's why it says, and they were naked and ashamed. Why were they naked and ashamed? Because they had never seen their bodies. Like you have never seen your spirit and your soul. See, we don't really comprehend what the Bible means when it says, we fail. First of all, in order to fall means that you were first in an elevated position. That's where the garden was. The reason why you can't find the garden, because it was in an elevated position. Somebody say we fail. We fail into this body that the Bible calls the flesh. We fell into this body that the Bible calls the old man. The carnal man. Amen. And guess what happened? When we fell into him, that is when we inherited the sin nature. That is when we inherited the law of sin and death. That lives in him. Within my flesh dwells no good thing.
Yeah.
Why? Because he was made from the dirt. When you walk in the flesh, you're going to do something dirty. When you walk in the flesh, you're going to get dirty. When you walk in the flesh, you're going to think dirty. Oh, hallelujah. Are you guys picking up what I'm putting down? So it says, their eyes were open and they knew that they were naked, which means they never knew. This was a revelation. This is the result of the fall. So where did we fall from? Well, they were first spiritual, a living soul. You can't see your soul, you can't see your spirit. They fell from that realm. Said another way, Pastor. They fell from the spirit realm having access to the spirit realm, living in the spirit. How do I know they was living in the spirit? Because he gave them his breath. They were full, they were filled and full of the Holy Ghost. They walk in the spirit. They got to live by the spirit of God, our sons of God. He was called a son because he had God's spirit. When we fail, we lost his spirit. And we fell from the spirit realm to the earthly realm. You realize that? That's why it's called a fall. Where did we fall from? We fell from an elevated position in Christ. See, Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. Amen? What was lost? See, you don't even realize we used to be seated with him in heavenly places. He came to redeem us, pick us back up. Amen. So we fell from that realm into the fourth dimension. Somebody say fourth dimension. We fell from a spirit realm where physicists say have at least six more dimensions than what we know on earth. Amen. I haven't been to heaven. I have not seen with my spiritual eyes the spirit realm, so I can't describe it, but there's colors in the spirit that you cannot see and appreciate in the natural. There's sounds in the spirit that you cannot hear and appreciate in the natural. There's aromas, there's feelings, there's movement in the spirit that supersedes this realm. How do I know this? Because everything that is seen came from that which is not seen. Hallelujah. So what we know is fallen. What we know is a lesser dimension. Adam existed in the higher dimension. When he fell, he lost the spirit that enabled him to live in the spirit realm in the higher dimension. So from the time that we're born, we have a sin nature. All we have is five senses, and we're limited by the fourth realm of height, width, length, and time. Then another way, he fell from eternity to time. And we get ready to go there. So the eyes that were open after they sinned, the physical, the natural eyes that was open, that became awake, was a curse and a blessing. Say, Pastor, how is that? How can something be a curse and a blessing? It was a curse because he came from the earth. It was a curse because he was carnal. It was cursed because we have a sin nature. It's a curse because the law of sin and death reigns there. It was cursed. This is why Paul said, within my members dwell no good thing. This is why Paul said, when I will to do good, evil is present. He's not speaking of the devil. He's not speaking of the Antichrist. He is speaking of his flesh. He said, who shall deliver me from this body of flesh? So it's a curse because the old man is cursed. How do I know he's cursed? Because he can't be redeemed. He must die. Paul said, I die daily. Amen. John the Baptist says, I must decrease. Oh, we get ready to go there. But it was a blessing at the same time because that body, those eyes that were open, gave us time. Time to get it right. First of all, we fell from eternity into time, and we inherited this dust body that lives in the time. Amen. So, even though we're in a cursed body, it still has grace connected to it, because we didn't fall and go directly to hell. Said another way, if any other spiritual being sin and fall, there's no redemption. Do you realize redemption is only for us? How about that? Redemption is only for us. If Michael sin and fall, what is he going to fall into? He don't have a physical body to fall into that would give him time. No angel in heaven that sin has something to fall into. If they sin and disobey, it's a done deal eternally. Are you there? But when we fail, that shouting ground right there, when we fail, he had already prepared a body for us to fall into. And even though this body is full of sin, even though this body has a sin nature, even though this body came from the dirt, and we're going to have a carnal mind, and we're going to live in perpetual death, we got time. So it's a curse and a blessing at the same time. Am I helping anybody? So the person you see in the mirror is not the person Adam and Eve was. That's heavy. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. Now, the eyes that were open, somebody say the eyes that were open. That's the carnal man. The Bible says a carnal mind is death. Because this body is death. He was made on the sixth day. Amen? He's dirty. When he died, we put him in back to the dirt 6 feet under. Any six-sided shape or an object is called a hexagon. When you walk in the flesh, that fallen man that was made from the dust on the sixth day, he's hexed. Everything he touched is hexed. Everything he thinks is hexed. Everything he does is hexed. Mm-hmm. Now, the eyes that were open, I want you to understand something. Your flesh, your physical eyes that were open in the garden when they sinned, he is selfish. Self-centered, self-righteous, self-absorbed. Say that again. He is selfish, self-centered, self-righteous, self-absorbed. So I want you to understand the eyes that were open. This is what we're going to be dealing with today. The eyes that were open in the garden, and they knew that they were naked and ashamed. Those eyes only see I. Say that with me. My physical eyes only see I. My carnal eyes only see I. That's why he's cursed. He don't see anything else. Mm-hmm. Not only that, he hates the will of God. How do I know this? The flesh wars against the spirit. Paul said that there's a law within my members working against the law of my own mind. See, everybody wondering who the Antichrist is going to be and when he's coming. When day you wake up and look in the mirror, you're looking at the Antichrist. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Amen. Anti means against. Your flesh is against the will of God. Your flesh is against the laws of God. Your flesh is against the movement of God. You're looking at them. Not your soul, not your spirit, your flesh. He's your Antichrist. Somebody say the real enemy is enemy. Oh, hell, that's shouting ground right there. Somebody say, the real enemy is enemy. When you recognize your flesh is the real enemy, you ain't got time to blame nobody else. You ain't got time to be gossiping about nobody else. You ain't got time to be pointing the finger at nobody else, because within your members dwell no good thing. Amen. See, now I want you to see something. Everybody here, body was made from the dust of the earth, right? We all standing in dirt bodies, right? This is the amazing thing about humans. We judge our dirt body to other people's dirt body. Oh, we going there. Okay. Well, my black dirt body is better than your yellow dirt body. My white dirt body is better than your brown dirt body. It's all dirt. Let's keep going.
Wow.
Let's look at dietary laws. This is why Jesus said, what a man eats is not what defiles him, but what goes in his heart. We don't be understanding what's going on. So when you think you're doing something because you don't eat pork and you don't eat a pig and you don't eat beef and you don't eat this and you don't eat that, well, I'm a vegetarian. Well, I'm a vegan. It's like, where do your vegetables grow from? The earth. Where did God make the cow from? The earth. So you judging your dirt peppers against my dirt pork. What we do?
That's right.
You know we've gone to war. We fight and kill one another over discrimination of dirt. Amen. Now I'm gonna help y'all out. I'm gonna go a little deeper. Some of y'all standing in y'all dirt body, judging a homosexual dirt body. Let them identify as whatever they want to. Amen. We here to lift up the name of Jesus and bring men to repentance. Don't get into squabbles about insignificant stuff. This is why we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Workmen that needs not be ashamed, that can rightly divide the word of truth. Stop taking people's word for it. Get in that Bible. And say, Lord, breathe on me the way you breathe on Adam. Hallelujah. Now I want you to see something. So they're falling now. Chapter 3. Verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Stop the presses. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking. How can you hear a voice walk?
Glory.
Amen. The Bible mess you up.
Come on. Come on.
They heard the voice of the Lord walking. Now, let me explain something. In order to hear a voice, takes two things. It takes the air or breath from your lungs. Did you know that you can't speak if your mouth is completely dry? So it takes air. Somebody say wind. And it takes the water, saliva of your mouth. Somebody say word. Or water. Amen. I want you to see something. In order for a voice to be heard, you need the air or wind from your lungs that is going to carry it. And you need, when you get ready to speak, you need a moist mouth to utter so we can hear the consonants, the vowels, the words. Amen. So, when God breathed into Adam, his spirit, that's when he received God's voice. Amen. He gave him his word and he gave him his spirit so he could stand and have dominion. Why are we able to have dominion today? Because we have his word and we have his spirit. Hallelujah. But when they failed, they lost the spirit because breath means to give life and take it. So when they failed, they lost the spirit, and now the breath, the voice that was in them is no longer there. Hear me by the Holy Ghost. It is outside of them walking around. Are we going there today? It's outside of them walking around, and guess what the voice is saying? Where are you? We're going to get there in a second. So it takes the wind and the water to have the voice. Say, Pastor, can you break that down a little better? Yes, in Genesis 1 and 2, what happened? The Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. So you had the wind of the Spirit moving upon the waters of the Word. Waters represent the Word of God. Amen? We're washed and cleansed by the water of God's Word. So you got the wind moving upon the water. What the next verse say? And God said, there's no voice without the wind and the Word. Let me say it another way. If the wind ain't blowing, speaking of the Spirit, God ain't talking. Yeah. Hallelujah. A whole lot of churches, Pastor Eddie, if you're listening, type in amen so I know I'm okay. A whole lot of churches going to this Bible, teaching stuff, but God ain't talking. You know why? Because his wind ain't moving. It's the Spirit that gives life. It was his breath that moved upon holy men and wrote the Bible. It is the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. This written Bible is just the logos. But when you add the movement of the Spirit and he showed you something, it becomes a rhema. Revelation only comes by the Holy Ghost. Amen. So it's the Spirit of God that moved upon the face of the waters. And when you have the wind and the Word, when you have the water and the wind, you're going to get God's voice. So this is the voice that was walking. Say, Pastor, can you give me another example? Sure. Remember when Jesus came to John the Baptist to be baptized? Amen. Jesus, who is the Word of God, he came. And he, now watch this, when he went down in the water, somebody say water. The Spirit of God came down like a dove. Somebody say the Spirit. When the Spirit met the water or the Word, what the next verse say? And God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You don't get the voice until you get the water and the wind, till you get the Word and the Spirit. Hallelujah. So we have here the voice. They heard the voice walking. In order to have a voice, you have to have the wind and the water. You have to have the Spirit and the Word. And if the Spirit ain't moving, God ain't talking. Because the letter by itself kills. Lord have mercy. But it's the Spirit that gives life. Hallelujah. Now I want you to see something else that's peculiar here. It came walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Somebody say cool of the day. So if you take that at face value, it's going to throw you off. Because it's going to make you think that whatever this voice of God that is walking is, it came walking in the cool of the day. Amen. So we're thinking naturally that, well, that time of day was cooler. Most places in the evening, the temperature drops. Amen. Yeah. This is why we need to study. If you look up cool in the Hebrew, it has nothing to do with temperature. Actually, it's the very opposite. Cool is the Hebrew word ruah, R-U-A-H. And guess what that word means? Spirit. As a matter of fact, in Genesis 1 and 2, when it says, and the Spirit moved upon, is ruah. Why did the translators say, and the voice of the Lord came walking in the cool of the day? I want you to see something. Cool is trans. They use cool only here in this verse. Over almost 300 times, I believe 290 something times that this Hebrew word ruah is used, is used for spirit. Why they use cool, I don't know. The more interesting fact is when it says it came walking in the cool of the day. If you look up day in Hebrew, it means the hottest part of the day. So where in the world did they get cool from? Somebody say study. So let's put it all together. And the voice of the Lord came walking in the spirit of the day. Oh, hallelujah. If you want the word of God to become alive and walk right before you, you got to be connected to the spirit. Hallelujah. Remember when Jesus told his disciples that y'all get on the boat, you going over to the other side. And while they was about halfway there, remember there was a great storm. It said that there was the great wind blowing upon the water. Hello. So when the wind began to blow on the water, we call it a storm. When a wind began to blow on the water, we call it a storm. When the wind begins to blow on the water, I'm prophesying to somebody, the storms in your life might be because God is stirring up the wind that's blowing on the water, and you're thinking it's against you. The storms of life might be the wind that's blowing on the water, because that is what's necessary. So when the wind was blowing on the water, Jesus came walking. Somebody gonna get that. When the wind was blowing on the water, Jesus came walking. Why? Because you can't have a voice without the wind and the water. And we read this Bible, and we study the Bible, and we wait for it to become alive to us. We wait for Jesus to jump off the pages. But when you get the wind, as you going through the water of God's word, he will come walking. The voice of the Lord came walking in the spirit of the day. Hallelujah. So they translated spirit. It should have been spirit. They put cool of the day. Look at verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where are you? So the voice is walking in the cool of the day. They hear him. And he's not just walking, the voice is not just walking to be walking, but he's speaking because he's a voice. And he's saying, where are you? First thing we need to understand is he's asking, where are you? Because God's voice was never intended to live inside of buildings, bricks, marble, carpet, wood. Amen. His voice was intended to live in you. Hallelujah. His voice is for you. We can't have dominion without his voice. Do you understand why the animals obeyed Adam? It's because when Adam spoke, they heard God. Hallelujah. It's his voice that gives us dominion. Hallelujah. It's his voice that demons obey.
Amen.
It's his voice that calms the wind. Oh, man, I could go there, but I got to move on. So, the voice is saying, Adam! Where are you? First of all, the voice was in the earth, originally living inside of him. He's evicted from him now. And he said, what am I doing outside of you? What in the world did you do? There's a fall. Amen. And as I was meditating on this last night, the Holy Ghost spoke something even heavier to me. He said, when the voice was saying, Adam, where are you? He wasn't just speaking to the Adam that failed, because he knew where he was. But he was calling unto the Adam that was to come. Lord, have mercy. Lord have mercy. So the voice that's evicted from the first Adam is calling unto the second Adam saying, where are you?
Amen. Amen.
Why? Because they're fallen. I've given them dirt bodies, but they only got a certain amount of time. Hallelujah. So the voice is saying, Adam, where are you? He knew what that Adam was because he's no longer spiritual. He's no longer a living being, a living soul. He's operating from a fallen fourth dimension of a dirt body. But the voice was calling out, Adam, where are you? This is why the Bible says, I looked to see who would go and couldn't find no one. And the Lord said, I'll go. Hallelujah. God is in the house. Now I want you to see something. From the time that our fallen, carnal, old man of the flesh eyes were open, even though it gave us time and grace to get it right, he's our number one enemy. Are you there? So the voice was calling unto Adam, where are you? In heaven, Jesus responded.
Amen.
Are you there? And he actually responded before the voice even said it. Because he was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world.
That's right.
Come on, the Bible says, he said, a body thou hast prepared for me. Now watch this. You can close those carnal eyes. Say that with me. I can't close my carnal eyes. Somebody had to come and give us the power to close them. That's what brought Jesus in.
Amen.
This is why the Bible calls him the last Adam. Amen.
Amen.
So in order to deal with this fallen flesh, now I want you to see something. In order to redeem man, God had to come just like man. I want you to see something. Because people, their theology is off when it comes to this. Amen. God, a God, didn't fall in the garden. Adam did. So whomever was going to redeem Adam had to come just like Adam. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Now I want you to understand something. Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. Now put your seatbelt on. Did you know he didn't do anything as God when he was on the earth? Uh-oh. Hallelujah. When he raised the dead, that meant Adam could raise the dead. Uh-oh. When he'll be among his enemies and would know what they were thinking, that meant the first Adam. See, this is why he did nothing for 30 years, because he had to obey the law. Are you there? Adam was a man anointed by God with the Holy Ghost. Jesus had to come as the last Adam, as a man anointed with the Holy Ghost. So he did nothing for 30 years and came to John to be baptized so he can be anointed with the Holy Ghost, because he had to come just like the first one. So casting out devils because of the anointing. Are you there? Teaching the way he taught because of the anointing. Dealing with the enemy the way he did was because of the anointing. The miracles that he performed was because of the anointing. Hallelujah, I need you to get this. This is why he said, the works that I do, it wasn't because God, only God could do it. He said, you can do.
Hallelujah.
And greater works. We don't even know who we are. I'm preaching better. Y'all saying amen up in here. We don't even know who we are. Amen. It was a man anointed by God that died for our sins. And he was only able to do it because he didn't come from the fallen seed of Adam. Where do the seed come from? The man. The bloodline comes from the man. Oh, no, we don't.
Amen.
Y'all don't really want me to go there. Amen. I'm running out of time. How much time I got? Anybody give me 5 more minutes? Raise your hand if you give me 5 more minutes. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35. All right, 45 should be enough. He was anointed by God. Are you there? Now, so he came in the flesh because we have fallen into the flesh to show us how to deal with the flesh. We can't deal with him by ourselves. So, say this with me. There's a great man of God that passed on that taught me a lot. He said, we couldn't be like him, so he became like us so we could be like him.
Amen.
Say that with me. We couldn't be like him, so he became like us so we could be like him. Said another way, the Son of God became the Son of Man so the sons of men could become sons of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Those eyes that were open in the garden called the flesh, we were not anointed to deal with it. So it took 4,000 years because that body gave us time. Amen. See, when you lose a piece of property and you need, they give you a grace period to buy it back, to pay the outstanding debt. There was a sin debt that was incurred when Adam disobeyed God, so he snatched his spirit from him, gave him this dirt body, and say, now you just got a little bit of time. So you have to understand that if you're here today and you don't know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Bible says redeem the time. Hallelujah, because you don't know when it's your time. When you're in this dirt body, it's going to expire. It's going to die. So you want to make sure that when you leave here, it's taken care of. And it's only taken care of when you look to the Messiah, the one, the second Adam that came. Amen. So he was born just like us. But I want you to see something. We all came from a fallen man named Adam. That's why we have his sin nature. The Bible says, in Adam, all die. Don't matter what kind of family you was born in, don't matter how much money they got, don't matter if there's a royalty in the earth connected to it, if you came from Adam, you cursed. If you came from Adam, you was born disconnected from God. If you came from Adam, you didn't have any hope. You were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Don't matter what your bank account looked like, don't matter what your last name looked like, everybody that's born of a woman is fallen. Why are we fallen? Because our father was. Because the bloodline, the name, this sisters, when you get married, this is why the man don't take your name, you take his name, because you don't have a bloodline. Come on, somebody. The seed comes from him. That's why God made him first. Oh, Lord. If there's any feminists in the house, I'll apologize to you after service. So, because that bloodline is cursed and fallen, guess what was different about Jesus? He came from heaven.
Yeah.
The Spirit of God overshadowed Mary and impregnated her with the seed of God. So which means what? He was still born of the flesh, but he don't have the cursed carnal mind. He was still born of the flesh, but he don't have the cursed bloodline. Said another way, he didn't have a sin nature. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he came. And as the second Adam, he is our example of after we're redeemed, what redeemed sons look like. Do you realize that the only man in the Old Testament called a son of God was Adam? I believe it's Luke chapter 1 when it's given the lineage of either Joseph or Mary. At the end of it, it's when it takes it all the way back to Adam, and it says, Adam, the son of God. After Adam failed, no man was called a son again. Even if you were in covenant with God, it only stated son of man. Are you there? No man was called a son of God, which means in Genesis chapter 6, this is free. Somebody say, this is free. I'm not going to charge you for this. All right? In Genesis chapter 6, when it says, of the sons of God took daughters of men and married them and produced giants, that was not men. Because there was no son since Adam. The only beings that were called sons of God in the Old Testament, other than Adam, were holy angels. So these was not Satan angels. These were, they didn't fall until they did that. These were holy angels that said, we want family. Come on. Angels are only mentioned in the masculine. Amen? They don't reproduce. This is why Jesus said, when they was asking him about Lord, you know, because under the law and Eastern custom, if a man dies and him and his wife have not raised up a male seed to carry on his name, a brother could marry that woman in order to continue his brother's last name. Amen. So they were questioning Jesus, trying to trip him up one day and said, Lord, if this man had a brother and he didn't do it, another brother came and he didn't do it, in heaven, who's her husband? He said, in heaven, there's neither married nor given in marriage. We're all angels, alike angels, because they were not created to reproduce. Are you there? So when they chose, it was just a minority of them, when they chose to take women and come down and derobe themselves of their spiritual body and raise up seed, that was an abomination. Amen. Because angels are only male. And when they saw these sisters, Lord have mercy. Maybe it was some sisters from Hawaii, I don't know. But I definitely know it was some sisters from Atlanta walking by, and it was like, hey, we got to think about this, doc. Pray for me. So, Jesus didn't come with the sin nature. Lord have mercy. But he came just like Adam. See, Adam was created. He wasn't made perfect. He was made perfectly innocent. So God withheld the knowledge of good and evil. There was no death. God says, I'm going to give him the perfect environment to make the right choice. I'm going to withhold the knowledge of good and evil from them. We don't even know what that means because we're born in sin. We were born with a sin nature. How can you exist and don't have a knowledge of good and evil? That was Adam and Eve. That's a whole nother story. Amen? And he said, I'm going to create an environment where all he has to know is don't eat from that tree. That's all. And before I move on with Jesus, I just want to give something else to bake your noodle. Do you realize that the Bible says, Paul lets us know, we know from the text, but Paul gives us background information. He said that the woman was deceived. Adam wasn't. So we can understand why Eve did it. She's conversing with the serpent. Amen. Sisters, you got to be careful. The way to a woman's heart is through her ears. The way to a man's heart is through his eyes. He always, sister, he's going to always be in your ear. There's always going to be some serpent with oil on his tongue trying to tell you something you ain't got no business doing. And you got to know, and I wish I could get an amen up in here, you got to know how to turn that serpent's mouth off. Amen. The serpent, the devil was first revealed in the Bible as the serpent, not the devil, not the dragon. Amen. As the serpent. And that means hissing one. So it's to beware of them brothers that be hissing.
Girl,
you know you looking good today. Can I get some fries with that shit?
You crazy, I don't look that good.
Girl, you got to be tired because you've been running through my mind all day. I just fell out the spirit. Amen. So, now we got Adam. Somebody say Adam. The last or the second Adam is here. And so he wanted to show us how to do it. Amen. So he said, no, you wait and get anointed. You wait and get full of the Spirit. Because the first Adam had no authority until God breathed into him. So guess what? His assignment wasn't just to die for your sins, but his assignment was to get the breath back. And I tell people all the time, Passover was for man's sin, but Pentecost is for the sinner. Hallelujah. So he didn't come just to die for us. He came to make sure that we get the breath back so we can walk in dominion. Because he did no miracle until he was filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, I'm coming just like the first one, and I need you to read the four Gospels so that you get an understanding of what you're called to do.
Amen.
Amen. So when you get born again, you need to be spirit-filled. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Because the spirit was snuffed, was taken away from Adam. Hallelujah. That's what we need. We need the Holy Ghost. We need God's wind. Hallelujah. So Jesus walked. He showed us what dominion is. He spoke and creation obeyed. Did you know that if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you can speak and creation must obey? Why do you think every time that they say that there's bad weather coming to Hawaii, there's a storm coming to Hawaii, there's a tsunami, there's a hurricane coming to Hawaii, it has not hit? Because there's some sons of God on this island that know who they are and said, the works that he did, we shall do also in greater works. In the name of Jesus, change course. Hallelujah. So he showed us how to walk in dominion. Amen. Then ultimately, he had, now watch this, he had to come in the flesh and deal with the eyes that were open in the garden. His ultimate goal, people of God, was to close those eyes and reopen the spiritual eyes. His ultimate goal was to die in the flesh. So that sinful man, the carnal man whose eyes was opened in the garden, Christ is on the cross, lifted, suspended between heaven and earth, and he takes our sin. He takes the judgment of our sin in the flesh. Hallelujah. And once he took the judgment of our sins, gave up the ghost. Lord have mercy. I want you to see something. So when he gets up, he said, I'm going to do one last thing. After he paid the price of the sin that was incurred in the garden by the first Adam, the second Adam said, I paid the price so that I can do this. And before he left and ascended to heaven, the Bible says, he breathed on them. And what did he say? Receive the Holy Ghost. Let's look at this word receive. The prefix R-E means to go back and do again. Amen. That's why we get the word redeem, restore, rejuvenate, revive. R-E means to do again. He breathed on them. What breath? The same breath that was blown into Adam and he became a living soul. He breathed on them, not a price is paid. He breathed on them and said, what? Receive.
Amen.
Receive. Amen. This ain't the first time I'm sending my breath. The breath was sent in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, but it was taken away. I'm here. I paid the price as the second Adam. Now you can receive him. Hallelujah. And 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, they were all in the upper room. And how did the Holy Ghost, the breath of God, how did he come? He came like a rushing, mighty wind. Now watch this. The very voice, the very authority that enabled Adam to have dominion is now back in the earth because the price is paid. And now if you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, you qualify to receive his spirit. And now you can stand again and have dominion. That's why he said, you're bone of my bone and you're flesh of my flesh. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are the bride of Christ now. And the work that he did, we shall do also in greater work. Because the second Adam came, he died, and he sent forth his spirit, and he said, receive.
Amen. Come on.
Hallelujah. We don't need to run to the government. The government is on the inside of us called the kingdom of heaven. Speak God's word. The voice is now, he's not outside of Adam anymore saying, Adam, where are you? The second Adam came and paid the price so that you can have him. He came, he got out of heaven to get into you. So that you can speak. You say, but President Biden is doing this, and Kamala Harris don't know where she at, and the Democratic Party lost his mind, and the far left is doing this. But what about the Holy Ghost in you? What about the voice that's in you? What about the authority that's in you? What about the word that's in you? Do you realize God will let the devil smack on you till you get tired of getting smacked? Glory be to God. He said, I'm not going to do anything. I've already done everything I'm going to do. I gave you dominion. I paid the price so you can have the Holy Ghost. We got all this power and we only use it in the four walls of the church. We got all this authority. We only speak when we prophesy to one another. What about the devil that's right in the street? What about the principalities and powers? What about the authority that he gave you? God said, I ain't doing that. I did all I'm required to do. Get off your butt. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because the Spirit is Lord, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Glory be to God. They that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. When the Son of God was here, he didn't take no mess from the devil. Why? You taking it. When the Son of God was here, he put the devil in check. As a matter of fact, when he would come upon someone that had demons, they let you know who he was. They began to scream, saying, thou Son of God, have you come to torment us before his time? When was the last time a devil told you that?
Uh-oh.
Come on. When was the last time the enemy told you that? See. Be not just hearers of the word, but doers. Are you there? Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this house. We thank you for everyone that's represented here and everyone that's hearing us through live stream. We thank you, Father God, for the pastor of this house, that you keep them, protect them in their travels. We thank you for the visitors that are here, oh God. And we ask in the name of Jesus that the revelation that was revealed here, that they take it with them, oh God, that it not fall on deaf ears.
Hallelujah.
But there be an excitement and a stirring on the inside of them. There's a story in the gospel where the angel came to the pool of Bethesda at certain time, and he stirred up the water, and the first one in got healed. God has sent an angel today to stir up the water of God's word. He just want to know who's going to jump in. Your healing is in the water. Your deliverance is in the water. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus, oh God. We thank you for your Holy Ghost. We thank you for your word, oh God. We thank you for Jesus who gave his life for us. And we say, oh God, visit us in these last and evil days. Encourage your people that we may lift up our head. O ye gates. Thank you, Lord. And no matter what's going on in the world, Jesus have already overcome the world. For this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Let us look at the life of Christ afresh in the lens that he got out of heaven to get into us. That only he can close these carnal eyes that I've been living through. Only he can close the eyes that were open in the garden when they failed. Because when he died, the Bible says that the flesh died with him. And our authority to live above and beyond the power of the flesh is in Jesus Christ. Because he died in the flesh, when we accept him, our spiritual eyes can be open again to see you, your glory, your presence, your beauty, the kingdom, my gifts, the fruit, to see your love, your power, your compassion, your character, and your attributes, oh God. Hallelujah. We thank you, oh God. If there's anyone here that do not know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we do not want you to leave here without taking care of your eternity. Amen. Every eye is closed. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I heard that word. That was for me. I am ready to repent of my sins, turn from my wicked ways, and ask the God of the universe to come into my heart. If that's you, raise your hand at this time. Lord, have mercy. Your hand is raised. Let us pray. Say, Father God, forgive me of my sins. I recognize that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I understand that I came from the fallen Adam and I can't save myself. But today I recognize that the second Adam, he came. He lived sinless, and he died for my sins. He not only died for me, but he was resurrected on the third day for my justification. And I ask that you come into my heart. Forgive me of all my sins. Make me new. Cleanse me and fill me with your spirit that I may speak, that I may walk in authority and life. Because if I have your spirit, I have life. Thank you, Father. All my sins are washed away. And I am saved, born again, in Jesus' name. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap. Come on. Come on, y'all can do better than that.
Somebody give the Lord a hand clap.